You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Robert and I, after a series of discussions, have mutually agreed to part ways.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
All right, Chris, what are you thinking today?
So many great memories. But look, I think we knew this was coming. I think it was one of those things that I was saying it last year. It was just time for something different.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix. Packers running back Aaron Jones. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We are live on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network just walked us soup to nuts on what in the heck is going on in the nutty coaching carousel world in the National Football League in advance of playoffs being played this weekend. If you missed it, we re-air on the Roku channel as soon as this hour is done, next 2 hours are done, as soon as this show is done. Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston will join us as the Patriots just made it official in the last 20 minutes. Gerard Mayo is the new head coach of the New England Patriots. Bill Belichick is a free agent for anyone to hire as their next head coach. I can't believe I'm saying that into a microphone. Joining us here in studio, as promised, to kick off hour number two from Sports Illustrated, our friend and colleague, the, I guess, senior NBA reporter, if you will, our friend Chris Mannix, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Chris. How are you?
Tom Curran is what I would sound like if I didn't move to New York after college.
Is that right?
Like,
are you
I know
serious?
Tom well. Nice. Like, Tom, I see Tom all the time. Tom actually grew up with, this is like total Boston, like, grew up with one of my cousins. And I would sound like Tom if I spent my entire career in Boston, yes.
Do you have that in you?
If you give me like between 4 to 11 beers, yes, it all comes bubbling back. But like a decade in New York after college, it kind of, whenever I used to go back to Boston,
yeah,
like you'd hear your mother go like, get your car out of the driveway. I'd be like, did I sound like that? Was that me at some point? But Tom's got it. Tom's
it's funny
still got
that
it.
Beers brings it out of you. Cutting me off in traffic brings the New York accent out
Fair.
Of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like right away. Yeah. Like I don't have to get some time underneath it.
I did an interview once with Ben Affleck before Air came out.
Okay.
We did a story on him in SI, and he was going, it was in Utah for All-Star last year, and he was going through a group, several people doing one-on-ones.
Yeah.
And I walked up and I'm like, hey, Ben, I'm from the Boston area. And you could see kind of like a switch flip in him. Like he immediately went into Boston. Like his accent started to come out a little bit too. So it's like once if you're in the same room with someone from Boston,
yeah,
it just naturally starts to filter out.
I love it. And I'm sure there's a lot of cursing watching the Celtics from that area last night. Is there anything to the fact that they were playing a back to back, and so that's an issue last night, and back to backs are kind of killing some of these marquee games?
Look,
in any way,
the NBA has, over the last decade, done everything possible to reduce the number of back-to-backs, eliminate as many three-game and four-night stretches as you can, because they know that this is often the end result. And the Celtics were not only coming off a back-to-back, they played a grueling game against Minnesota, right down to the wire at the very end. All that being said, like, it's not like they hopped a bus from Boston to Milwaukee. They hopped in their private charter, had a catered meal, checked into the Four Seasons or whatever it is in Milwaukee, and had themselves a decent night's sleep. So there really isn't much of an excuse for playing like that. But I think that when a lot of the Celtics coaching staff got on the plane, there was probably a thought in their mind that given what they had just done at home against Minnesota, this was the closest thing to a scheduled loss as you could come up with.
And obviously when the schedule, they come up with it, the schedule makers didn't know that the Timberwolves would have the best record in the West at the time, I guess, and that they wouldn't want to put them in. But why would you schedule any game? before you're taking on the obvious odds-on favorite, if you will, to be with them in an Eastern Conference final.
I agree with that.
In front of the national television audience. Like, why do it?
I agree with that. I think if you look, the NBA has made it very clear that in these high-profile, nationally televised games, they want everybody playing, right? Like, no resting your stars right. in the TNT, ESPN games. Even some NBA TV games, they get prickly about at times when teams rest their stars. But there should never be, or as infrequently as possible should there be, teams playing off of back-to-back, because that just sets something like this up. Like, right. you know, the Celtics were not going to rest their guys against Minnesota in a marquee game against the team they might play in the finals. You know, they want to test themselves against Minnesota. So having Milwaukee come up right after that, it doesn't make any sense. If you're going to make these marquee games, make sure that both teams are not playing the night before.
And then there was the night game on TNT where, and you were there last night.
That was the worst nationally televised slate that I've seen in quite some time. Because you remember during the Celtics game, TNT went away from it. Like,
and Ernie was classic.
It was great. Like, we could go to Oklahoma City, but they're about to beat Portland by 62. The Knicks at that time were getting drubbed by Dallas. I mean, I thought they were like, you know, a couple of minutes away from doing a King of the Court competition with Chuck and Kenny and those guys, or going like a Law and Order rerun. I mean,
Law and Order would have been better.
It was just bad. There was nothing to go to in that moment. It was a perfect storm of bad basketball, which continued in that Laker game later on. I mean, that was a 2.5-quarter game before that game was decided.
Well, I mean, the only shocker after, I guess, the initial onslaught was, wow, Grayson Allen knows Emma Stone, you know, like to get like an actual shout out from her as she's
Bradley
the
Beal's
arena.
Reaction to that was great. Like, Bradley Beal being like, you know, like, I think Bradley Beal's level of respect for Grayson Allen went up tenfold in that moment.
I think all of America's did, to be straight up with you. Although, I don't, is Bradley Beal a big La La Land fan? I mean, like,
I don't know, but the look on his face, he's kind of looking around. Then he sees Emma Stone, then he sees her talking to Grayson Allen, and all of a sudden just...
like, see you, Grayson.
It was like, wow. Hey, Grayson, you want to hang that next road trip?
So what is up with the Lakers as we are now heading into Martin Luther King Jr. weekend?
Yeah, I mean,
NBA.
Look, we're approaching the official midway point
yes.
of the season, and I think we kind of know what the Lakers are right now. Now, the Lakers have used injuries as an issue for this slow start to the season, but I mean, look, yeah, Gabe Vincent has barely played this year. Jared Vanderbilt missed some time, and Rui Hachimura is currently out, but every team has injuries.
Isn't that what Darvin Ham keeps saying, is we're not healthy, we're not healthy,
I don't really buy that. I think they're underachieving, especially their role players. Look, LeBron is having an all-star season. Anthony Davis, you know, last night notwithstanding, is having an all-star, yes. all-NBA season. The guys around them aren't performing, whether it's D'Angelo Russell, Austin Reeves, Hachimura when he's been out there. This Laker team can't shoot. That's first and foremost. They cannot shoot. They're one of the, I think, still bottom five worst 3-point shooting teams in the league. In the modern NBA, you almost never succeed at a high level without being able to shoot. I say almost never because in the bubble in 2020, the Lakers had kind of a similar poor shooting team, but they won a championship. But that was more of an aberration than an example of how things work. You have to be a sharp perimeter shooting team. The Lakers don't have shooters. They also don't defend at the level they used to. This is a Laker team, at least in the playoffs last year, that defended for like 3.5 quarters and then relied on LeBron and AD to be the two best players on the floor and carry them home. They were a top five team in the playoffs defensively last year. Right now, they're hovering around 12th. When you are the 12th best defensive team and like the 25th best offensive team, that is not a recipe for even getting in the playoffs, much less winning a championship. So those are the two things they have to resolve. They have to get better defensively, which I think they could do organically, and they have to get better in terms of their shooting, which I don't think they can do with this current roster.
Well, the first time I've ever heard anybody say a team needs to recapture the magic they had in the in-season tournament. You know, I mean, that, and I loved how that was brought up to LeBron in a way, in a post-game conversation. He's like, that was two games in Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, there was four pool play games that were just regular season games. It was two games in Las Vegas in a span of 3 days. But it does appear to be a completely different team. They did appear to be locked in those two games in Vegas, if you will. And so I guess you could say it's in there or
I don't know. I think connected to it is the idea that LeBron and AD are playing bigger minutes than they probably should. Uh-huh. Like they're probably, I think they're both right around mid 30s per game. They should both probably be in the low 30s. And people might say that's not, you know, a ton of extra minutes, but you add 3 or 4 extra minutes per game and that kind of starts to add up and it makes them, you know, a little bit less effective in the second half of some of these games. Look, LeBron seems indefatigable, but he's 39 years old. I mean, Anthony Davis has been more durable over the last year, year and a half than he's been in quite some time, but he has had injury issues and he's not, I don't want to say he's not used to, but he's not as comfortable as he'd like to be playing center full time. So that's a physical toll. When I watch teams go at Anthony Davis, the start of every single game, whether it's the Clippers with Zubac, last night with the Phoenix Suns and Yusuf Nurkic, they're sending their big, burly, 7-foot, 265-pound guy down into the paint to, you know, bump Anthony Davis around, try to take something out of him early in these games. And that's a strategy that is going to continue to be employed throughout the season. So I think that the wear and tear on those two players specifically has more to do with the way this team has struggled than the totality of just kind of being in the in-season tournament.
Chris Mannix, who just dropped burly and indefatigable.
Well done.
In an opinion. You don't need to look it up, do you?
No, I know, absolutely.
Okay.
Well done.
Right.
Multiple.
Indefatigable is one of my, that's
big word alert.
That's well, I mean, it's impressive.
Multiple syllables.
Polysyllabic, Chris yes. Mannix hey, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Draymond said Adam Silver talked him out of retiring. So what's your reporting behind that?
I don't know that anybody in the league office really believed that Draymond was going to retire, mostly because he's in year one of a 4-year contract that's going to pay him $100 million. Draymond is an emotional guy. There's no doubt about that. And maybe in that moment, he expressed to Adam Silver, said, you know what? This is too much. I'm just going to walk away. Maybe he believed that in that moment. And like maybe Adam went along with it in that moment and said, look, you stay, you know, don't, we'll take some time off, you know, get yourself right. But realistically, guys don't walk away from that type of money. And Draymond, regardless of what you think of him on the negative side, is still one of the ultimate competitors in the NBA. He was always going to want to come back. He was always going to want to try to right the ship, just like they did at different times over the last couple of years. I've gotten the sense that nobody really took that, I don't call it a threat, but that idea all that seriously.
Okay. So when do we see him again?
They got a road trip coming up. I think it begins Friday or begins this weekend. I would expect to see him at some point over the next game or two. I think he's going to work. He's back with the team now, obviously, on the sideline.
Yes.
And they got to do something, Rich, because, you know, if the playoffs start today, they wouldn't be in it. They wouldn't even be in the play-in right now. You've got Steph Curry making comments like, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again.
So what's he referring to? Him? Draymond?
I think he's referring to kind of, not to Draymond. I think he's referring to internally the way that they're playing, the way they're approaching games. You saw that game against New Orleans. He gave like 46 points in the first quarter. Like, that's not a hallmark of a team that's been really good defensively, you know, during its championship years. I think he's also talking about the roster. The roster, it just doesn't work at a championship level. You look at the numbers that Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga have playing together. They're awful. They're unplayable together. And these are two key guys for this team's success. So they're a team, I think, that is very likely to do something before this February trade deadline, because I think it's pretty clear in Golden State that if they're going to try to maximize whatever's left of Steph, they're going to have to change this roster up.
So what do they do? Like, what are you seeing on the horizon? Trade deadline is what, around Valentine's
February
Day?
February 8th, I believe.
Okay,
it's
before.
Early. They moved it up the last couple of years.
Oh, that's right. Every year, there's a big splash during Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
Last year, it was Durant in Phoenix.
Yeah. Yep. They like to.
Okay. They like to
move it ahead of the it used to be after the All-Star break, and
okay.
Now they want it before then for any number of reasons.
All right.
The name to watch for the Warriors and a few other teams
yes.
is Pascal Siakam. So when Toronto traded OG Anunoby, that was their signal that they're now officially open for business. OG was an expiring contract. He was a young guy. Pascal Siakam is an expiring contract, going to be looking for a max dollar deal. I think that Golden State is uniquely positioned to get Siakam because they've got a young piece that Toronto would want. In the Anunoby deal, Toronto didn't prioritize draft picks. They prioritized young players. They got RJ Barrett. They got Emmanuel Quickley. They got a bunch of guys, or a couple of guys, that are age 24 and younger that fit the timeline of Scottie Barnes, who is their franchise player. So with the Warriors, you've got Kuminga, who's still 21 years old and looks like he could be a pretty good player. I mean, he's had some great stretches at times during this season. If Golden State is willing to put Kuminga in a deal for Pascal Siakam, I think they're the front runner to land Siakam. Now, they may not want to do that because Kuminga is still high lottery pick, good young player, again, shown flashes. But if they're willing to do that, I think that, you know, they are a clear favorite to land that guy.
Why wouldn't they be? I mean, I know you just gave, you know, reasons why you want to hold on to Kuminga. I get it. I mean, he already, told Shams, I don't like the way I'm being handled or my rotation, right? And you just said he and Wiggins are
Kuminga doesn't strike me as
together.
The kind of guy that should be. Is he honestly at the level where you can write about?
Who's the person on the staff who tells Steve Kerr, you never guess what The Athletic just reported?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, Steve, you know who just
like
called
Clay,
you out?
Clay griping about like being benched in the fourth quarter of some games. I can buy that.
Right.
Kuminga, even though Kuminga's right, like Kuminga should have played in that game that he was referencing.
Yeah, he sat, what, like 18 minutes against New
not,
Orleans? Right.
That was the Nuggets game.
Nuggets. Okay.
Yeah, not a smart decision there, but not that. I think when push comes to shove, they're going to have to do it because, look, Siakam's really good. Like, he is a 20-point-per-game scorer.
He's terrific.
He is a defensive-minded player, too. He is like a souped-up version of Andrew Wiggins. Now, Wiggins is somebody that, I don't know what's happened to him over the last couple of years. You go back to 2022. They do not win a championship unless Andrew Wiggins is on that roster.
He was an all-star.
He is an indispensable part of that team as a three-point shooter and a defender on Jason Tatum in the finals. Since then, it has been a progressive and now a precipitous decline for him. He has just fallen off a cliff to where he is at some point unplayable for certain stretches. So I think you've got to, if you're going to try to keep preserving this window where you've got Steph, you've got Clay, and you've got still Draymond, you've got to do something. And to me, Siakam, who is a versatile guy, can play in multiple different positions, that's the guy I would go after.
You just referred to Scottie Barnes as a franchise player in Toronto. I thought he was the face of the NBA. I heard that. I heard that this past week, one of the greatest post-game coaching rants ever. I mean, this is up there, I think, with Jim Mora playoffs. It's up there with we even made some drops out of Coach Darko.
This is completely BS. This is shame.
This is shame.
Outrageous.
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 Why only 25 grand? That sounded like a six-figure fine.
No, because I believe that's the max. Like, that's the max that you can find.
We thought it was going to be like wow, six figures, but they discounted 75 grand because he's kind of right. I mean, 23 free throws to two. They're kind of like, we see your point, Darko.
So in today's NBA, you have guys that...
I'm sorry. I just saw the photograph up on the screen.
It's tremendous. In today's NBA, outrageous. You have guys that will, when they're upset about the referees, they will, you know, try really, really hard not to say anything specific to avoid a fine altogether. But if they know they're going to get fined, it is blowtorch city. It's like, let me take out the flamethrower and let me just get my money's worth, because it's going to be whatever, 25, 35 grand one way or the other. So you might as well get your money's worth. And by the way, Darko's not wrong. A 23 to 2 free throw disparity. There have been, and look, I'm going to say this, I know who's going to call him from the league office later, but there have been some wild, wild refereeing decisions recently. Like that Celtics-Pacers game the other night where Jaylen Brown got fouled at the end of the game. Call on the floor was Buddy Hield, hit Jaylen Brown on the back of the head. Seemed clear as day to me that he did that. The referees go, they review it because the Pacers challenge, and then they overturn it, which was insane because the rule is there has to be clear evidence to overturn. Even if you really, really look hard and believe that he might have gotten the ball first. There's no way you can justify that as clear evidence. So the NBA's had some bonkers refereeing issues this season.
Well, I mean, the NFL's saying, hold our beer. So, I mean, that's the way I guess it's been going. And maybe that's the advent of 4K televisions. We see everything so clearly at home.
But that was a replay. Like, they saw it. Like, they saw the replay. It. They went to the booth or went to the Secaucus where they review it.
Yeah.
And they called it. Just none of it made any sense.
All right. Last one here for you, Chris Mannix, before we send you into your Los Angeles Friday. I'm going to do a solid for my friend, compadre, dear friend and compadre, TJ Jefferson. Why are we not talking about the Clippers more?
We should be, because I saw Paul George. I was watching his podcast episode with Gordon Hayward recently. Mm-hmm. And Gordon was saying to him, was like, I don't know how anybody beats you guys in 4 games out of 7. And Paul kind of nodded his head. He's like, we talk about that all the time. And I've watched a lot of Clippers games over the last month or so. I watched them early on when they were dysfunctional. And I've watched them the last couple of weeks when they've been really, really good. That's going to be a really tough team to beat 4 out of 7, because they right now are complete. Kawhi Leonard should be in the MVP conversation. He has been playing as well as he's played since that 18-19 season in Toronto. Paul George is exactly what you want him to be as that secondary option. James Harden fit in seamlessly with that team.
It's
as
amazing,
a nice,
right?
I understand why James Harden wanted to be there. He has fit in really well with that team. Zubac, I mentioned briefly as kind of that physical guy on the inside, he has been terrific for them. Off the bench, Norman Powell's been really good. Even Russell Westbrook has slid nicely into that role, been a good teammate, and produced for them when they've needed him in spurts. Look, there's a lot of good teams at the top of the West, and you got to give it to Denver until somebody knocks them off. But when I watched the Clippers over the last 2 or 3 weeks, trying to figure out how a team beats them, if they're healthy, 4 out of 7 is really difficult to see, because they are really good on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, and at the top, you got the Timberwolves in Oklahoma City that just looked phenomenal again.
I don't know what Oklahoma City does moving forward. Like, they've got, like, I think last count, like 757 draft picks in the next 5 years. Like, and everybody says, like, Oklahoma City should make a trade, make a big trade. Well, for who? Like, who do you put on that team that supplants, like, Chet Holmgren at the five?
Nobody.
Or supplants Jalen Williams on the perimeter, or takes Lou Dort out of the rotation? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, speaking of MVP candidates,
right,
he has been phenomenal. Like, that's a team I think is going to ride it out this year and then see what they do in the playoffs. Like, if they get flamed out in the first round, maybe they say, you know what, we'll do a big deal and move off some of these guys. But if they get beat in the conference finals, look out, because that is a 10-deep team with young guys that can play.
Fun stuff, man. Thanks for coming in, Chris Mannix.
You got it. So
thanks for always letting us know when you're in town. Chris Mannix, everybody check him out on Sports Illustrated as well as on Twitter and everywhere else right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Phone lines are lit. What's More Likely is next. This is The Rich Eisen Show on a Friday. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports. The number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people, because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposed to going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Good to see you, Shaquille O'Neal. How are you, sir?
Before we get started.
Yes.
If I take this home, will I get arrested?
The Vince Lombardi trophy?
Is this the real one?
That's the real one. That's a real Vince Lombardi trophy. Sure. I don't know if that's the one that's going to be given to the Rams or the Patriots this weekend, but that is a real... You want to lift it?
Well, if I lift it, I want to take it home.
No, if you... Well... Then I think we're at a crossroads here.
Actually, we're not at a crossroads. Let me tell you why.
Okay, sure.
I'm not a lawyer, but I watch a lot of law shows.
Okay.
I got about 50 witnesses that seen me hit my head on your set.
Oh.
So if you just give me this, I'll let bygones be bygones.
So it's a liability issue for me.
Yeah.
That turns into an even worse liability issue.
I don't want to have to call it the Shaq Eisen show.
I know that. I know that.
All you got to do is just give me this and I'll put it next to mine. This is beautiful.
I'm doing the math in my head as to how much you'd be suing me for personal liability as to how much this trophy costs, which I've been told is around $22,000.
Well, I'll be suing you for $23,000.
You want to lift it?
No, I don't want to touch it.
Okay, you sure you don't want to touch that?
Bad luck.
Bad luck for you or for...
No, to touch the trophy when you don't earn it.
I like that.
Yeah, my father used to always...
Are you serious?
Yeah, he always used to... Because, you know, like when you're a kid, you get the trophy from a local trophy shop.
Sure.
He'd be like, if you listen to me, guys, you get this. You want to touch it? Don't touch it. It's bad luck. You got to earn it.
Right.
So that's why, like, you know how, like, in the NBA, when you win the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference, they give you those little trophies? Yeah. I never touched it.
Never.
I never touched it, and I never celebrated.
I remember Phil did that, too, right? Yeah. Didn't you, like, when you guys won the Western Conference Finals of one of the many times you did?
Yeah, I never touched it. I never looked at it, never celebrated. This is beautiful, though.
It's a beautiful trophy. Yeah.
Oh, yes. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. TC in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You're on the Rich Eisen Show, been hanging on for an hour and a half. What's up, TC?
Hail to the victors valiant, hail to the conquering heroes, hail, hail to Michigan, the leaders at best.
Yes, yes. Hail, oh God, the second stanza.
The victors valiant, hail to the conquering heroes, hail, hail to Michigan, the champions of the U.S. Go Blue!
Well done, TC.
Is that really the second verse?
It is a second. It's not. It's champions of the West, but he's saying U.S. Yeah, because West, when Michigan started its existence in the early 1800s, they were in the western part of the United States.
Yeah, right.
I'm serious, by the way. I'm not joking.
No.
What's in your mind, TC? Other than just your beautiful singing voice,
Coach Harbaugh. He's married to Ann Arbor. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's flirting, but I think he's going to stay put. He's got all these recruits coming in, 5 stars, 4 stars. He's going to tell them that you come with me, I'll coach you, we'll get you where you need to go, and then all of a sudden he's going to walk away. I don't see it.
I wish you were right, TC. Thank you for the call. I don't know. Couple things. First of all, hearing somebody from Wisconsin sing the Michigan fight song is outstanding. You know who would not do that? Murph. You know who said he was going to call into the show multiple times?
My buddy?
Last week's poker game, this week's poker game. Last night, I'm going to call in. He hasn't called in. I haven't heard from Murph.
The phone lines?
I haven't heard from Murph. But I hope he's right. Will Johnson, who is one of Michigan's many finest defenders, a shutdown corner, number 2 for those who might have been watching Michigan football on the defensive side of the ball. Number 2 on the offensive side of the ball is Blake Corum.
He was on a show.
It popped into my Twitter timeline. He was asked, "Do you know what Jim Harbaugh and J.J. McCarthy are going to do? You don't have to tell us what they're going to do, but do you know at least?" He said yes.
Interesting.
And what's your read on that? You'd say that they're going to go, right? I mean,
I think J.J. McCarthy has a chance to be a first-round pick, so I would...
Well, he has a chance to be a top-five pick if he stays and, you know...
And they let him pass.
Or they
kind of...
I don't know. Keeps winning is another way to put it. Troll. You know, I mean, honestly,
I don't think that's trolling. I mean, he didn't throw the ball a lot the last.
The one to Colston
year.
Loveland actually take him, flip the field, and take him on that
the
final
one
scoring
they didn't
drive.
Ball holding, okay. I mean, look, you want to get Snooty? I can get Snooty back.
So Snooty. I don't know. Snooty. He could stay and be a top five guy, maybe, or if he knows they're staying,
why wouldn't he stay? Is he staying anyway?
Who? Jim? He says he knows what both of them are going to do.
The defensive back, is he going to stay?
No. Will Johnson said he knows what both J.J. McCarthy and Jim Harbaugh are going to do.
No, I know, but was that asked in reference to what his future plans are?
No, asked in terms of what the future, do you know what your coach and quarterback are going to do? And he said yes. And in order for them to say that they're both leaving, which would make sense that they're not going to announce, like J.J. McCarthy's got to announce by Monday.
Right.
And that if there's a celebration going in Ann Arbor this weekend, you know, they'll wait till after that to make those announcements. But Harbaugh can't know for sure he's leaving unless he's got a deal in hand. Right? He has no idea. I mean, last year he thought, you know, or 2 years ago he thought Minnesota was it and even flew out there to be there on a signing day and then turned around and came home and said, I'm staying. I don't know what that would be. What's more likely? We're about to play it.
I don't know. Michigan actually just announced the parade plans.
Yes.
It's tomorrow starting at 4 p.m.
Awesome.
At the president's house.
Oh, my God.
And heading south down State Street.
I know exactly what that is.
That's at UM Athletics.
Oh, my goodness.
You want to be
gracious.
There,
I do, but I'll be at 4 o'clock. I'll be just getting off the air of the 4.5-hour NFL game day morning.
Those jobs,
right up to
man.
Kickoff of Cleveland and in Houston. Boy, is it going to be lit on campus tomorrow night? Oh, my God. But I honestly, I don't know what to make of it. You can't sit here, unless he's got a deal in hand, mm-hmm. You can't sit here and say, he definitely knows he's leaving. So maybe he is staying. You know,
and the opportunity to be a top five pick. Yeah, that's there for real for him. He was a Heisman on the list all year.
Corbin in Texas, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Corbin?
Rich, honored to talk to you again.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, I doubt you remember, but I called in August in the win-loss, and I picked the Ravens 13-4, so I'm feeling good about
you
that.
You did nail it. Okay, yes. Yeah. You're one of the many Rich Eisen Show listeners who actually nailed and or viewers who actually nailed the prediction. Jeff in Detroit nailed the 12-5 record for the Lions. And there you are in my notes right here.
Well, and
Corbin in Texas, 13-4. There you go.
Many of your viewers, Rich, they have the same feeling that you had when on Tuesday you described how you saw Harbaugh on campus and you were just kind of overwhelmed with seeing, you know, hey, this is the guy. A lot of your fans feel the same way, getting to see you every day, and more importantly, getting to talk to you is just
it's
just awesome. But I have a real quick what's more likely for you.
Okay, Corbin.
What's more likely for my team? They lose to an AFC team that has already that they've lost to, so Cleveland or Pittsburgh,
okay.
Or they lose to the Chiefs or the Bills? What's more likely?
Chiefs or Bills?
You do think so, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what if Flacco strolls in there, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Because, by the way, if the Chiefs beat the Dolphins and the Bills beat the Steelers, then if Cleveland starts the weekend off with a win in Houston, it would be Flacco showing up in Baltimore on Super Divisional weekend. I just added a super. I will just say the Ravens are more than likely to win a playoff game. So thank you for the call, Corbin, and I appreciate the compliment as well. I would go there. He didn't just cannibalize one of your
No.
Okay. Let's get to the real deal then. What's more likely? Presented by Carnival Cruise Line. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Chris, this better be good because Carnival is setting sail on this thing. You know what I'm saying?
I'm ready for a free Carnival ride, so let's go.
Okay, what do you got?
What's up, guys? Happy Friday. Hey,
we're good. Hey. It's a Carnival. It's a Carnival.
QB making their first career playoff start to get a win. CJ Stroud or Jordan Love?
Oh, I'll go Jordan Love.
That's your man, TJ. Come on now.
This guy, man.
No, I'll go CJ Stroud at home. The offensive rookie of the year at home. It's so difficult to win your first playoff game NFL.
Very difficult.
It is not easy. More often than not, you lose. People like Peyton Manning have lost their first career playoff game, you know? So, Jordan Love going into a spot where a team has not lost a game at all this year, or you're at home against the Cleveland Browns that have played very well the last couple of weeks, last month plus. I'll go with the, you know, de facto offensive rookie of the year with all due respect to the Nakua family. That's more likely.
I mean, the list of, you know, quarterbacks to win their first playoff game recently, obviously Brock Purdy did it last year. Russell Wilson in 2012. T.J. Yates in 2011.
Yeah.
Sanchez in 2009.
I mean, it's rare. It ain't easy.
Joe Flacco, Ben Roethlisberger. Short list.
Yeah. Sorry, though, but at least I got you laughing. I got you snorting into your microphone, T.J. What else, Chris?
All right, it's going to be cold in Kansas City. Who's more likely to have more receiving yards, Tyreek Hill or all Chiefs receivers combined?
I'll go more Chiefs wide receivers. I'll go the entire Chiefs wide receiving core combined.
Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
Justin Watson.
I'm going to say, you know,
MVS catches the ball this
time. I'm
going
to say the cold hands will do something.
Great graphic.
But I will go, yeah, man. I mean, if Jalen Waddle's not there, do you think you'll tilt your coverage to 10 or what?
He can get open. He's fast.
I understand.
All right.
What a wild situation that is. I mean, the Dolphins offense is definitely set for being a good home team, right? That you can actually run the ball. They're terrific at it when healthy, but offensively taking the top of your defense off, how do you do that when the wind blows and it feels like it's minus 30? Wow. What else, Chris?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the weather report right now for Kansas City. The only two words, it's bitterly cold. So it's going to be really cold Saturday night. Who's more likely to look colder during the game? Mike McDaniel or Taylor Swift?
Oh, Mike McDaniel, because Taylor will be in a suite.
Come on, Joe Coy.
They're going to have the...
Of course you're going to have the glass up. Are you kidding me?
It's going to be cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does she show up?
Look at this. This could be the silliest what's more likely you've ever posited. Who's going to look colder? No matter who looks the coldest, it will look like that they are sunning themselves on the shores of whatever Caribbean beach you can name compared to Tom Coughlin's face still hasn't thawed out from that NFC Championship game. In Green Bay.
I honestly think it's irresponsible to play the game in this type of weather.
Okay, Chris.
All right, who's more likely to score more rushing touchdowns on Sunday? Najee Harris or Jaylen Warren or the duo of Cooks and Josh Allen?
Oh, you're including Allen. If you're including Allen, I'll go Cooks and Allen.
Well, his name's up there.
So I know. Cooks and Allen. Yeah. By the way, a great vaudeville act. Cooks and Allen, you should check out anything that you see from them on YouTube. It's very grainy video, Cooks and Allen.
This is another one. 65-mile-an-hour wind gust and maybe a foot of snow in
Buffalo. Dude, the whole idea that this thing could be played in Cleveland, that's when you delay the game. So.
Or just build a dome in Buffalo.
Okay, great. You mean what? Over the next 48 hours? That's not happening.
Remember I said that last year when they're building the stadium? Why wouldn't you just put a dome on it?
You should not play games in this type
of weather.
I would
go Cooks and Allen. I would say Allen may have more rushing touchdowns than all three of the others combined.
Oh, that's fun. Okay.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
Josh Allen, this is where he's... You know, if I am them, there's torpedoes and I'm damning him. And it's Josh Allen going for it.
Yeah.
And that's it. None of... Just... whatever you tell them, don't have to do too much, but go ahead, do a lot. I don't know how you find that sweet spot.
A lot easier when TJ Watt.
So
cold. All right, NFC matchup, more likely to be a shootout. Packers, Cowboys, or Rams, Lions?
I would go, that's a good one. I'll go Rams, Lions.
They both have totals over 50 right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean by that. What do you mean by that?
Well, see, the number of points scored by
both
teams.
And you combine them?
And you add them up, and then it's like, it'll be above 50. That's a lot of points.
Cowboys defense, really?
I mean, you know, not on us, but this Rams
line. Oh, you're saying, so it'll be 47-7, and that'll be the over.
I think it's
pretty
possible.
Close. Yeah.
34, I don't know why you think so.
This Rams-Lions game is going to be a barn burner.
I agree with you on that.
I agree with you on that. That is going to be that's going to be a fun. I think it's more likely it's points of Palooza in Detroit than Dallas.
Oh, well, then here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our next one.
Okay.
Lions quarterback to throw more touchdowns than interceptions on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The former one or the current one?
Oh, I'll go the former one. Yeah, buddy.
You're picking the Rams, huh?
Who's played better over the course of the entire year?
Who's great at home?
I understand that. But Jared Goff lost at home on Thanksgiving, didn't he? You know? Honestly, who has played more consistently well from week one to week now? Number 9 in Los Angeles. Number 1 in your heart. Whose house? Honestly, their only loss, right? Is that still correct? That their only loss in the last 2 months was
to the Ravens.
To the Ravens, and he lit it up against that Baltimore defense also. Am I not wrong about that?
Yeah, they've won 6 out of 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
294 yards passing.
Dude.
He's played great down the stretch.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know, 2 picks against the Giants.
The good news is that right now Sam LaPorta was spotted in the last hour catching passes from Goff in the open portion for the media to watch practice. So I'll go Stafford.
All right, interesting.
Yeah. What else?
Who's the more likely Mike to be on the hot seat Monday?
McCarthy.
Tomlin or McCarthy?
I'll just repeat it one more time.
This guy.
For everybody in the back of the classroom. Tomlin is not getting fired.
Oh, really? Neither was Pete Carroll or Bill Belichick.
I understand that.
Yeah.
I know. This is if there's any time for this to happen...
So.
I don't know how Mike Tomlin still gets fired. Oh, by the way, I do have, and it's just really been a testament to my class. Okay. To my level of class.
Not responding to
not fire back at all the bookmarked tweets from the Steeler fans that I do have in the shoot from weeks ago.
You don't have enough time for
There's one in a parody Tomlin account that was added at me saying that they're not going to win a game the rest of the year. The team's quit. And not only have they won a game the rest of the year, they've won all their games since that tweet the rest of the year.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
Correct. I'll go McCarthy. What else?
All right, two more. More likely to have a bigger impact in the win on Monday, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, or Mike Evans and Chris Godwin?
Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I have very little confidence in the Eagles flipping the switch.
Yeah.
The more likely of who's more likely to flip a switch in the playoffs, the Chiefs or the Eagles? I'll take the Chiefs from last year's Super Bowl. I don't know what the hell's going on in Philadelphia.
Bad.
But I will take Godwin and Evans because they have been playing well and have won more than they've lost in the last couple of months. The Eagles have not. You got one more over there?
Last one. In 2024, Bill Belichick is more likely to be coaching a team playing this weekend or a team that missed the playoffs?
Well, I'll take a team that missed the playoffs since that's a larger subset than the one that you've got this weekend. There's only, 12 teams playing this weekend? And then there's, now you're making me do math. How dare you? There's 14 teams that made the playoffs,
18.
Which means 18 didn't. So it's 12 versus 18. I'll take the 18 over the 12.
Yeah, but the 18, not all 18.
I get it. I understand. So I guess there's a fewer amount of openings than there are teams playing this weekend. But the teams playing this weekend are some of them are going to keep playing and winning. I was told there'd be no math on this. What's more likely? I'll go non-playoff team.
All right.
That's What's More Likely, presented by Carnival Cruise Line. Plan your next vacation with Carnival to explore beautiful destinations with exciting excursions and blissful relaxation. Ooh. No one does fun like Carnival. We're back with your phone calls and setting up hour number three. Tommy Curran on the latest from New England when we set sail on the rest of this show. A lot of what I just did was just to set the guy and right off. You know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I understand.
Give yourself a backup plan when it goes wrong for you.
Tyler Smith is going to be good to go.
Oh, baby.
All right, Rich, you know he said you had a little confidence in the Eagles.
I do.
And you know how we like to read into things.
We do like to read into things.
A.J. Brown has deleted everything from social media.
What do you mean?
Instagram. All the stuff about anything related to the Eagles.
This
gone.
Account doesn't
Twitter
exist.
Twitter account deleted.
Why?
1K always open. See ya.
He doesn't want any distractions. That's all.
Or he wants out. Of Philadelphia.
Well, maybe he wants to go wherever Vrabel winds up.
Or he wants to go where he should have been originally.
Which is where?
New England?
Okay. I don't know
play
what to make.
Dude,
maybe he wants to recreate the NWO from college and join DK Metcalf.
This 21st century, let's read into social media. Don't you remember that was the hot topic of the Super Bowl in Los Angeles? The Monday of Super Bowl week here, when the Rams were taking on the Bengals, was Kyler Murray cleansing his Instagram account.
Yep.
And look who is now the face of the franchise with a gajillion million-dollar contract.
Took 200 mil. I'm just not gonna.
I won't go there. But that's why this is a big game. I mean, on Monday night, that's part of the reason why it's on a Monday night, I think, too, is this could be a complete disintegration of the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, if Kelsey retires and then he wants out and they totally
Sirianni
fall
on the
apart.
Hot seat?
I don't know. I mean, you heard Tom Pelissero kind of allude to it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show, AutoZone is a place that you can stream the NFL this weekend on Westwood One for free. They sponsor it all season long. Hopefully you've been listening to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app, and you can do that this weekend by also asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. You could stream it all for free. Get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone, restrictions apply. I had this top five in the chute since Monday, and everything started spinning off the axis of coaching carousels and everything else. But we're going to do it right now.
Let's go.
Before Super Wild Card Weekend, I've got the top five biggest head scratchers of the NFL regular season. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
Number five on this list of the biggest head scratchers of the NFL regular season might actually come home to roost in the first Super Wild Card Weekend game if somehow, some way, the Texans have trouble taking the top of the Browns defense off. Number five on this list is Tank Dell blocking on the goal line in week 13. I don't know what the hell he was doing down there. The guy's about 100 pounds soaking wet. There's nothing he can affect on trying to get Damian Pierce in the end zone. He was down there and he broke his fibula trying to block, and he's done for the year after this happened. I don't know what the hell he was doing there, and obviously I'm definitely focused on it because he was on a fantasy team that I needed him for.
Me too.
But I'll be straight up. What the hell was he doing down there? Why is he on a goal line blocking at all? Not even as a decoy? That happened. I'm still scratching my head over it. Number four on this list of the biggest head scratchers of the NFL season, Bijan Robinson's touches. I don't know what the hell was happening with this all year long. I got the final numbers. You ready for this, Christopher?
Yeah, what is it?
272 touches this season, finished 12th. That sounds okay. 11 other running backs had more touches.
Okay.
16 touches per game ranks 23rd amongst running backs that played 10 or more games in 2023. Among the last 10 rookie running backs drafted in the top 10, his 16 touches per game on average ranks 7th.
Yeah, not good enough.
And two guys above him, and Todd Gurley and Adrian Peterson, were both coming back from season-ending injuries in their last year of college. Here's the last one. 29 touches in the red zone, 32nd in the NFL among running backs, and second amongst his team. Tyler Allgeier had 6 more touches in the red zone than this guy.
Inexcusable.
Head scratcher. Number three on this list of the top five head scratchers of the NFL regular season, the regression of Trevor Lawrence. Yeah. He had 25 passing touchdowns last year, 21 this year. He had 6 more interceptions this year and 1 fewer start. 8 interceptions in his first year with Doug Peterson, 14 this year. Now, it could be he got hurt on that night in week 13. They were 8-3 going into that week 13 Monday night game, and he hurt his ankle, and then they went 0-5 the rest of the way, and he completed 62% of his passes. They went, you know, he went 0-5 when he started. 9 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions, a passer rating of 81.8. I don't know what happened to him this year. Terrific in the first half, then the second half regressed, and the Jaguars couldn't repeat as champs in the AFC South. Number two, the top five biggest head scratchers of the NFL season, the Chiefs' inability to catch. 34 total drops, most in the National Football League. 10 plus more than 30 of the other 31 teams. Cleveland had 31. They had 34. Ooh. 22 drops by wide receivers, most in the National Football League. 7 more than any other team. Boy, do they have to figure that out in time for the playoffs. But the biggest head scratcher of the NFL regular season was the total post-Thanksgiving disintegration of your NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles, who joined the 86 Jets as the only teams to start 10-1 and fail to win their division. The Eagles are just the 6th team to enter the playoffs, having lost 5 of their last 6 games, and none of the previous 5 made it past the divisional round. The Eagles finished with just a +5-point differential on the season, thanks to a -59-point differential since Week 13. They also allowed, since Week 13, 30.3 points per game, second worst in the NFL behind the team that's number 2 overall on the clock, the Washington Commanders. And that is my top 5 biggest head scratchers of the NFL regular season. Tom Curran is going to be coming up in hour number 3 of this program to explain what is going on in New England.
You think we need one more?
I do have one more.
All right, we'll get one more.
Here's one of the one more biggest head scratcher. Were the Cardinals never tanking? Because we all thought they were tanking. Let DeAndre Hopkins walk. Oh, let's pick up Josh Dobbs and let's start him for an injured Kyler Murray in a season where Caleb Williams is going to be sitting out there at the end and we're just going to be tanking pew, pew, pew and all that craziness with Jonathan Gannon. And they were a fun team to watch. They were in damn near every game. Yep. They won games in Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania, messing up both seasons of those teams. I mean, fan bases went A-S when they lost to the Cardinals. That team, I don't think, was ever tanking. And they still wound up, what, 4th overall on the clock? So they've got a great pick. And they got the Texans pick.
They had 4 wins.
And they had 4 wins.
3 against playoff teams.
I knew they weren't tanking.
They
right?
beat 3. The Cowboys, Steelers, and Eagles.
Week 3 told me they weren't
tanking. Were the Cardinals never tanking?
You think we need one more?
One more.
Another one?
All right, we'll get one more.
How's this head scratcher? Do the phone commercial people never shoot more than one spot? Because there's a new Einstein on our television sets in the commercial breaks, and it is Zoe Saldana. And there we put them both together. Her talking about her skiing style, and I love her. But what the hell is happening with these phone commercials? Can you shoot more than one day with your stars?
Not great. It's not great.
You love Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now get to know her on Give Them Lala.
I'm obsessed with the fact that GQ has named Kim Kardashian Man of the Year. You're upset about it? I suggest you do better then.
If there were a Cosmo Woman of the Year and it was a man, how would you feel?
Well, that would just be lies. Name a man who's doing better than women right now and you can give him Woman of the Year. But until I see that...
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.